And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
Patrick Kane finally has a new home, brought to you by good friends over at Skip. It's time for another edition of NHL Fantasy on Ice, Week 8 Mailbag Edition. Nick Alberga, Pete Jensen, and Anadu with you. Pete, how you feeling, buddy? Welcome back.
Great to be back, Nick. Yeah, great to see Patrick Kane on his way to Hockey Town. He already showed up at the Garden, even though he's not going to be playing for another 7 to 10 days. Anna, Skip, of course, the official food delivery app of the NHL, and a bunch of questions coming in this mailbag edition surrounding Patrick Kane and his new teammates.
Yeah, I'm just happy that Nick can stop mentioning that Patrick Kane was camping out in Oakville, Ontario, since he has finally found a home. So this is a win for me personally.
And Detroit is that home, as mentioned. So yeah, this is a win all around. Expected debut next week. I thought this was intriguing. It could come December 5th at home to the Buffalo Sabres. I think that adds some intrigue to this whole thing. And I wonder, fantasy-wise, Pete, what this could mean. I sort of feel for Lucas Raymond, because with all due respect, Patrick Kane's not coming in to play with JT Compher, man.
No, definitely. I mean, he's going to be moving down Raymond. But when you think about it, if it's Compher, he has a little bit more staying power now, Anna, when you consider his line mates could be in a week or so, the red-hot David Perron and Lucas Raymond. All of a sudden, the middle six forward group for Detroit gets a nice little bump here. And I think the offense and the power play in general, if Patrick Kane is the Patrick Kane of 2 or 3 years ago, and it sounds like he thinks he's that type of player, last year was banged up, right? Hip injury, didn't look the same as you know, maybe the only exception was that like highlight reel goal he scored in the playoffs against the Devils. But that was not the Patrick Kane that we've known and loved.
Yeah, but he's not too far removed from being the Patrick Kane that we've known and loved, and now he's going to get the opportunity to play with Alex DeBrincat, so maybe this goes better for him than it did with Panarin, and he was really good with DeBrincat in Chicago, and this could just be the place Patrick Kane needed to end up.
Yeah, I made that snarky remark on social media. It's like, yeah, we wanted to plan a parade because he was reuniting with Artemi Panarin on Broadway. Now he's reuniting with Alex DeBrincat in Detroit. And it's like, let's start the parade route for the Detroit Red Wings. Pete, is it fair to have a bit of hesitancy when it revolving around Patrick Kane? Like, that's a pretty serious injury that he's coming back from. And as somebody who's owned Patrick Kane through the turbulent years, the last couple of years, I don't know how I feel about this. Like, on one note, I'm like, this is sweet. Patrick Kane's back in the mix. I'll always remember him as a Chicago Blackhawk, obviously, but now he's with Detroit. But on the other hand, I'm like, well, like, there's some hesitancy just because of what this guy's been through, how many games he's played in his career, too.
Definitely. And he's 35 years old, just turned 35. He's dealing with a similar type thing that Nicklas Backstrom. And yeah. Nicklas Backstrom was never the same player after that. And now his career has pretty much, you know, gone downhill, unfortunately, for one of the best players, active players of this generation. And Kane is in that same conversation. Anna, I just wonder if this helps beef up the staying power of the Red Wings overall, because when you look big picture, right, they've been maybe one of the top surprises in the entire league. You could give the nod to Vancouver or Philly or someone like that, but they're right in that conversation. Now that they add Kane to the mix, I mean, now we're really talking like they have playoff capability here.
They really do. I think it impacts their futures appeal the most. But let's be honest, guys, like Patrick Kane is not going to be 100-point Patrick Kane. None of those guys are. Maybe with the exception of Sidney Crosby, like everyone's growing old, time is passing, and so we can only expect a certain level of performance for Patrick Kane. Is it super valuable? Yeah, it is. Even with the New York Rangers, he had 12 points in 19 games. I know that's not what we want from Patrick Kane, but that's an effective producer. He was fine with Chicago before he went to New York, and he's just two seasons removed from 90 points. So at the very least, you're going to get a lot out of this guy, but you're never going to get like prime Showtime Patrick Kane.
I agree with you. And so a couple more things on this story. Number one, like most teams who are in this bubble, goaltending's of concern. Pete, we talked about it on Monday. Alex Lyon has taken this number one job, with all due respect to everybody surrounding him, but Lyon's been a great story so far. And I don't know. I see teams out there and it's like, are you really going to make the playoffs or win a lot of games in the playoffs with Alex Lyon? And the other thing is, like, I'm a big chem guy, as you guys know on this podcast. Chemistry. You look at the New York Rangers last spring, guys, on paper, star-studded roster. Did it manufacture, did it make more wins for that team is my question. So just because Patrick Kane's now on this Detroit roster and they've had a good story, I wonder what that means for the chem for that team, because they've had a really good start to the season, Pete.
Well, they do have some more runway than the Rangers had last year, right, Anna? So that could work in their favor. I mean, really, if Kane is remotely healthy like he was 2 years ago, I mean, that could be really one of the best lines in the whole league. It was a top five line to start the season with Larkin, who's currently banged up right now, but hopefully they all get healthy at the right time and form quite a force there with DeBrincat. Yeah. But it really has that type of capability, and that's why we're getting excited about it. I think the pitfalls on the Red Wings are still there. The defense is not particularly strong. Even with Seider being a top 10 fantasy defenseman right now, I really value him in that regard. I don't trust the rest of that defense. I don't trust the goalie trio. So I'm not saying they're a slam dunk to make the playoffs right now.
I think they're edging towards that, though, just because there's so many guys on this team that are performing well individually outside of the big names we keep talking about. JT Compher's one. We're saying that Patrick Kane wouldn't want to play on his line, but in his own right, he's a good depth player for this Detroit Red Wings team. Daniel Sprong, Joe Valino, list goes on and on. A lot of these players took the next step this year, and in a way, I kind of like that they have some concerns defensively, so they're figuring out how strong their goalies are at this point in the season, right? Because they're not among league leaders in, like, the fewest shots on goal allowed per game. And you see a team like Carolina, where consistently they were at the top of the league in that category, defensively so strong. And when their defense faltered, they were allowing goals galore to start this season. At least Detroit knows what they're getting into right now.
Pete, all I'll say is I can't wait for our preview shows in September. You're going to march on here. You're going to be Sebastian Casas, going to win the Calder Trophy. And you're going to ride that hill as you wear your Buffalo Sabres shirt right now and Devin Levi's in the American Hockey League. Since we have you on, how do you feel about that, Pete?
Yeah, I mean, you gave an apology for something else a couple shows ago. I'll give apology for that. I mean, that was a big swing and a miss. I still think Levi has a great trajectory in his career. But like you were chirping about, right? Like, it just takes some time and so much pressure. I mean, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen right now, I know
amazing.
You guys talked about him on the previous show, but I mean, he's really charging forward, and that's why they sent him down. He's playing with a ton of confidence, won a big game at the Garden the other day. Against one of the best teams in the league in the Rangers. And yeah, I wore the shirt today, you know, just as an ode to the Sabres, right? You posted something, Anna, the other day, keep sleeping on Buffalo. Like, even their hometown boy turned them down. That's got to hurt a little bit, but the Sabres are playing well right now. It's good to see.
Nobody loves the city of Buffalo more than I do. I think it is the most underrated sports town in America, and I will die on that hill. Their fans are like nothing else. And another bright spot for them that I have to highlight. Okay, Nick, is JJ Paterka. I keep tweeting about this guy. This guy's on fire right now, and I need everyone to bring their attention to how well he's playing. He has 7 points, 3 goals in his last 7 games, and seems like the sky's the limit. The way this guy is shooting, he looks good, Pete.
And how about Casey Mittelstadt stepping up? He leads the whole team in points. Remember years ago when he got drafted, everybody was cracking jokes. He couldn't do a pull-up or whatever it was. And, you know, coming into this injury absence of Tage Thompson, Nick, like, a lot of people were saying the Sabres are finished, including some of us on this show. And they're chugging along right now. And big reason why is Casey Mittelstadt with 20-plus points already.
Yeah, I like it. I have to say consistent. I still think the Buffalo Sabres are frauds. I'm not going to jump from that. It's been a great story. Tate Stoll is out there winning some games. I got to be truthful, man. I still think they're an inconsistent team. I still wonder the goaltending, although UPL has been great. They got Devin Levi stewing away in the minors. So they're making building blocks. They're progressing. But can they get to that next level? Can they be relevant when the season matters is my question. But certainly from a fantasy perspective, guys, a lot of fruit on that tree right now. Even like an Alex Tuck's been a great story to this season. And guys have stepped up, right, Anna? That's been the big story to me, as Pete referenced. You could have packed it up for the season. We lose our best player. We're going home. But full credit to them. They've really stepped up in lieu of their best player here.
Yeah, just another name to add to the list. Victor Olofsson has stepped up as well. We're not talking about him. Jeff Skinner has been consistently a big part of this season for the Buffalo Sabres. Darlene's playing really well right now. I know Pete's super high on him as a defenseman in this league, since everyone's talking about Quinn Hughes and Cale Makar at the moment and Adam Fox getting back. But they have pieces that have really stood the test of time with all of the issues that they've had in Buffalo. And remember, everyone, they are a young team. Eventually, it is going to be Buffalo's time. The city is waiting. The fans have waited. I can't wait for them to finally get rewarded.
There's the head of your Buffalo Booster Club, Anna Dua. Guys, since we last spoke, there's been a trade in the National League, and it's actually something that's probably going to fly under the radar, but I think there's actually legit value, and producer Bob, who's playing under the weather today, is going to appreciate this, because it's a new guy who I think rest of season Pete has value because I think there's nobody else on that roster, which means he could play with Connor Bedard. I'm talking about Anthony Beauvillier, comes over from Vancouver. Would you take a flyer on him right now, Pete?
I would, in a deeper league for sure. And I think even with this situation that was going on in Chicago, it's kind of a good time for them to bring someone in from the outside, a fast player in Beauvillier that can shoot the puck. We saw last year, tail end of the season, Anna, right, when he was playing up top with Pettersson down the stretch and a little bit with JT Miller, like you started to see him come into fruition and his ceiling. And playing with Connor Bedard, there's a seat at the table right now, right?
Oh, yeah.
There's obviously Kurashev is thriving on the other wing. If Beauvillier could play on the left side, he could stick there for the rest of the season.
And getting that exposure is exactly what he needs. Like, he just hasn't looked the same in years. Like, we saw little flashes of him on the Islanders, but maybe this environment and playing with a generational talent like Connor Bedard is what he needs to come to his own, whatever he is as a player. So I'm taking a flyer on him for sure. The Blackhawks are just like, it's really whoever's playing with Connor Bedard, guys, and that's pretty much it for that team.
Well, that's what we expected too, right? And I got to add too, with Beauvillier, it's a contract year, and we know what players do. Some players do in contract years, so the guy wants to get paid. I think the motivation is there too, and I think also, like, there's no pressure, Pete. Like, I love identifying teams in general in fantasy hockey when there's no pressure for rest of season purposes. You can just go out there. That's how we sort of kid about Cale Addison, but he's started to cook a bit here for the San Jose Sharks. I think it's a good spot to get value, Pete.
Right, and this is such a – you can compare him to a lot of different forwards out there, and you'll probably lean with the other guy because Beauvillier hasn't ever really put forth – you know, something like a 60-point season or a 30-goal season, but both of those things could be possible at the end of the day with Connor Bedard. And we actually got a fan question delivered by our good friends over at Skip with Gabriel Vilardi potentially coming back on Thursday for the Winnipeg Jets in a big game against the Edmonton Oilers. Would you rather have Vilardi for the rest of the season in his new scenery or Anthony Beauvillier?
I'll go first, Anna. I'm going to go with Vilardi just because I've watched enough of the Chicago to suggest that, hey, they're just 2 points up on the San Jose Sharks, who have had a pitiful start to this season, but have as many regulation wins as the Toronto Maple Leafs, by the way. So I'm going to go with Vilardi. I'm a bigger believer in the Winnipeg Jets. Quietly, people are starting to forget about that slow start for Connor Hellebuck. He's been lights out lately. Bones is back in the mix there, and they just win and win and win. So it's Vilardi for me, Anna.
Love and light to whatever fan wrote in and asked this question, but I think it is 100% Vilardi, and if you say anything else, I'm kicking anyone off this podcast. And Vilardi only played 3 games so far this season, and yeah, he didn't, like, break out onto the scene. I did say that he could be the most impactful offseason mover in the preseason for this upcoming year, but when you look at his shot volume across those early games, I think in his first game of the season, he had, like, 7 shots on goal. The Winnipeg Jets are looking good. They have depth. They have a great combination of veteran players and some young guys that are taking the next step, like Cole Perfetti. And I just like the Jets. I think they're a slept-on team. Didn't have them making the playoffs. I take that back. I think I'm one of the people who doubted them. A lot of people doubted them. And Gabriel Vilardi, 100%.
It's pretty amazing when you have elite net mining, what that can do for your team. And it's a constant debate right in this league. But Hellebuck's been really, really, really strong as of late. I wanted to keep with the Canadian theme. And this is more delivered by Skip, but a question from yours truly. Pete, what do I do with Andre Kuzmenko? Like, we talked about this, and full credit to us in the preseason, that he was a regression candidate based on his shooting percentage, right? Last year, he's 27.3. He's looking at 10.3 this season. He's got 14 points in 20 games. It's tough to drop a guy who scored 39 times last year. I wouldn't go that far, but maybe he's a buy low guy right now, Pete.
I like the buy low window on him after being healthy scratch for those 2 games. He did come back. If he's in the top 6 with... like JT Miller, right? Top 5 fantasy player. Elias Pettersson, top 10 fantasy player. Quinn Hughes, top 10 fantasy player. I mean, Brock Besser, top 10 fantasy player. It's ridiculous. So, like, I feel like the window is here now to take a chance and take the risk on a player that was really probably the biggest off-season mover 2 off-seasons ago, low-key, and could quickly bounce back anytime.
I like Andre Kuzmenko a lot. As an individual player, I think this is the best time to buy low on him. The reason I'm a little bit concerned about his performance this year is that his shooting volume is so low, and that was very different from last season. So it's not even just that his shooting percentage was so high and he's regressed. He's not even shooting close to the same volume he was last season. But that can turn around any second, and then maybe we'll get the flash of the player we saw last year. I just think his upside is so, so high.
Important to stress, too, very contentious player agent involved there. So if he doesn't get his way, a fire could be coming with Rick Tocchet and company. So something to monitor at the very least when it comes to Vancouver. Pete, I would just add, too, would you take Kuzmenko over like a Sam Bennett? Like, would that be sort of a guy that you would think about? Because Sam Bennett's looked really, really good lately for Florida.
I like Sam Bennett, but he's always injured, regular season or playoffs. So, like, that category profile, if you ever did stay healthy on the line for a full season with Matthew Tkachuk and Carter Verhaeghe, that could be, like, a fantasy home run. So, the category coverage, definitely lean with Bennett, but I would rather have Kuzmenko because of the scoring ceiling, and he's probably going to stay healthy for the rest of the season.
Guys, I want to stay in Canada right now, because I love it here, but I want to go to the opposite side of what we're talking about, okay? And we're talking about buying low on Andre Kuzmenko. What about a guy selling high on? We had multiple questions come in from our friends at Skip about Evander Kane and the Edmonton Oilers. Evander Kane's looking like himself right now, 3 goals in his past 3 games, 4 points in that span, but I'm not sold on Edmonton. I'm really not. The way they started off the season had some glaring issues for me, and I wonder if in a couple of weeks they regress back to a slump like we saw at the beginning of the year, Nick.
Look, we're going to look like pigeons if we don't back what we said a couple weeks ago, and I'm proud of what we said. We said, hey, buy low on these guys, and they're starting to rip it up. Their goaltending's another story. They got goaltending reminiscent of that you'd find in beer league or house league, and Vegas found that out. Vegas can't score. They scored 4 goals the other day. I'm still buying. Like, I wouldn't sell these guys, Pete. I think the Oilers are going to score a lot of goals, a ton of times between now and the end of the regular season. I love this narrative that, Connor McDavid's back. I don't think he went anywhere. He is producing the way Connor McDavid has for the majority of his career. And I still think there are guys on that roster who still have yet, more to come in terms of offense. So I'm sticking with this, Pete. How about you?
Right, and McDavid, 12 points in his past 3 games. He's having multi-point games every other period these days, so really impressive, and that's what we've come to know about him. He's capable of doing that every single night, and I expect him to do that the rest of the way. And then, with Evander Kane, I mean, he's one of the category coverage kings, like a top 5 category coverage player in the entire NHL when he's clicking, and he is right now. He's second on the Oilers in goals with 11 behind Zach Hyman, who's also heating up under Chris Knobloch. And the coaching change conversation continues, guys, right? Like, since we last talked, the second coaching change of the NHL season, Dean Evason out, John Hines in. What's your reaction, Anna, as someone who has been high on Philip Gustavson coming into the season and now, picking up the pieces right now, but he has some bounce back appeal?
Now Pete's getting his revenge for me throwing him underneath the bus when he wasn't here and he was sick.
He heard it.
Out me saying Philip Gustavson in the preseason and the entire Minnesota Wild. I was ridiculously high on this team just because I had belief in their players. And honestly, I still do. I feel like it's a chemistry thing that Nick was talking about earlier in this episode. So maybe the coaching change is what they needed, because when I'm looking at their top 6, right, you got Kaprizov, who hasn't looked like himself this season. He needs a spark. Marco Rossi's kind of impressed me a little bit. He's moving up. We've been waiting for him to get to that top line spot on this roster. Matt Zuccarello has been consistent. Matt Boldy finally did something. I've been waiting for this kid to show up. Eric Sinek has been one of the biggest surprises in my eyes, but when I'm looking at those players, that's a pretty solid lineup. They're just not playing to the level they have to, and their goaltending, there's no bigger regression between the way Philip Gustavson played last season and the way Philip Gustavson is playing this season. My goodness. And maybe the coaching change can help that, but I don't even know. Like, I'm a doubter at this point.
Did you guys see Michael Russo's article in The Athletic, how the firing went down? It was like, you firing me, bud? He's like, yeah.
I was just going to say that. It's a great article. I don't like to pop other...
There's a paywall, Bob.
Yeah, there is a paywall. Michael Russo's got a line in his pockets, but it is a good story. Dean Evason is a very good guy. And, Garen here, if he goes through another coach, he's gonna drop down a few pegs. He's going to drop down a few pegs in my book, Peter.
I think he's already fallen a little bit in the Bob Bender power rankings right now.
And well, that was his guy for like 2 straight weeks.
So a lot of people picked the Wild to make the playoffs, including myself. I'm not putting them away just yet. Yeah. I agree with what Anna said. Their scoring depth is pretty good. They just need that defense and goaltending to batten down the hatches and win a bunch of 2-1 games, 3-2 games, and grizzle things out here. And they'll get back in the conversation with Nashville and Winnipeg, I think. But curious to hear who you guys are liking in that central division other than Winnipeg. I feel like Nashville's really like skyrocketing right now. Fantasy and reality, right?
I just wanted to give my two cents quickly because I really didn't give my opinion on that. I'm with the decision. I think they had no choice. I think Dean Evason is a phenomenal coach. I think he was a bit sewered with the fact that 14 mil is just dead cap right now with the Parisian Suter buyouts, which is ridiculous to me. And at the end of the day, they didn't want to make the decision. We've seen it so many times. We saw with Edmonton, they had no choice. They had to fire their coach. The bigger head scratcher for me is who they brought in, with the duest of respect to John Hines. But like, this is like his 15th job in the last like 3 years, right? And I just wonder what the team buy-in is going to be. Apparently, he's good with the kids, so we'll see from that aspect. But I just was more head scratching over who the decision was to bring in. But obviously, there's a relationship there with Bill Guerin. To answer your question, I mean, it's to me like the Dallas Stars, Pete, still a massive story in that division, especially it all stems from goaltending. Like even Colorado's been hit or miss, Anna, but it seems to be like there's a lot of wide open conversation to be had in that division, something I didn't expect this early.
There really is, and we're not even talking about the St. Louis Blues right now, who are, like, looking weirdly good. I'm getting, like, PTSD from the year they won the Stanley Cup with the way they're performing, and all their players are kind of, like, showing up randomly, and we got a couple of questions as well about a guy like Jordan Kyrou, and someone asked, like, whether it's a good time to buy low on Jordan Kyrou, and I'm like, maybe that time is slowly coming coming to a close. Robert Thomas has been heating up. Jake Neighbors is randomly like on a tear right now. So the St. Louis Blues have snuck up those rankings and they're sneaky, but the team that I gotta go for in that division, of course it's gonna be this team. It's the Arizona Coyotes. Gotta pump the Yotes on every podcast we have this season. They're a wagon, guys. They're going straight to the playoffs at Mullet Arena.
Hey, who pumped that on social media the other day? Michael Carcone, the Italian stallion, coming out of nowhere, having a great season, Pete.
Yeah, I like that kid, Carcone. 9 goals, second on the Coyotes behind only, Lawson Crouse leading them with 10. So some unsung heroes in that group so far. It's not Keller, Schmaltz. It's a bit of Michelli, but it's, they got some cool names going on out there and some diamonds in the rough in the desert. You love to see that.
It's crazy for me. They're still sneaking up on teams. Like, I thought it was a really good effort the other night. They beat Tampa. I know Tampa's on the back-to-back. I know Johansson was playing in that game. But that shows me a lot of fortitude from that team. And it's wide open. We just referenced it with that division. I think it's there for the taking when it comes to Arizona. Some notable injury concerns, guys, in the back end as we move on. Dougie Hamilton, we'll see if he plays on Thursday. Wanted to add as well, John Hines making his return to Nashville on Thursday. So circle that game. I am on the Minnesota Wild in Nashville. The Preds have been on fire. Andrew Brunette has that team playing. But Dougie Hamilton banged up. And Shea Theodore, week-to-week upper body injury there. And I guess it's not a coincidence that Vegas has started struggling offensively with him out of the lineup here, Anna.
Yeah, Shea Theodore was one of the most underrated players, in my opinion, so far this season. Everyone was talking about how good Vegas looks, and Vegas is looking like they could go back-to-back. They're a real team. But when you look at the guys who are leading this team, first of all, William Karlsson's having himself a ridiculous year. It's not just the Jack Eichel show out in Vegas. And Shea Theodore was only 3 points behind the team lead in points, right? And now he's missed a couple of games. He had 18 points on the season. He looked good. He was contributing shots. He was doing everything he had to. And he's a really, really big part of this squad that they're missing with the way he's performed. So I get a little bit worried about Vegas with a guy like that out of the lineup.
And Vegas is playing Vancouver on Thursday night. That's going to be an epic clash. The top two teams in the Pacific Division, two of the top four teams in the NHL to date. And again, you still lean with Vegas. Their goaltending is strong. I think it's best in the league team save percentage. But Logan Thompson's taking a little step back. None of us would be surprised to see Aiden Hill regress at some point, and all of a sudden the playing field could level a little bit and we could go back to where we were at the start of the playoffs last year, where we were seriously doubting that team, right? We were not sold that they were going to make a deep run last year, especially myself. So, things could fall out a little bit, and all of a sudden, like, they're not this dominant wrecking crew anymore.
That was the best when I went to VSiN in Vegas and I said they have no chance against Edmonton. The season is over for the Golden Knights, and then they won the Stanley Cup. And that backed up the hot take previously in the preseason for us when I'm like, Vegas is going to miss the playoffs. So if you're looking for hot takes, come to me. If you want factuality, don't come to me. I don't care. But yeah, you're right. I think for external D options to replace a Shea Theodore, that's a big-time loss to your point, Anna. 18 points in 20 games, 14 assists, but I think externally, Matthias Ekholm started to cook here a bit for the Oilers. 5 points in the past seven. Cale Addison, 4 points in the last six. And Travis Sanheim with Philadelphia. So luckily, Pete, there's some options out there to replace some of these injured guys, right?
The defenseman landscape is tough, though, right? Like, Florida got the guys back, so OEL's, bowing out here. And same with Eric Gustafson is going to be pretty much... I'm not going to say he's worthless fantasy-wise, he's droppable now that Adam Fox is back. And I'd almost rather lean Anna with, like, a Jacob Trouba or Keandre Miller, who's starting to heat up for some category coverage, as opposed to a boomer-bust power play quarterback that's no longer going to be on power play one. Let's be real with Gustafson.
Yeah, I agree. I'm looking at the Philly guys, though. I really like that Nick gave them a shout-out. Travis Sanheim is a player we've talked a lot about with the amount of playing time he's getting so far this season. The Flyers are a sneaky good team. They're a sneaky, sneaky good team, and I feel like they're going to be sniffling around these waters pretty much the entire season, guys.
Sniffling?
Like, sniffling around these waters.
Producer Bob Bender's
That's like me today.
Right.
Yeah,
you're talking
about me. You inspired
me.
Exactly. Yeah. The way, if you guys could get a visual of what producer Bob looks like, this is like the Philadelphia Flyers in a nutshell. They're just kind of here. They're kind of sneaky. They're kind of under the radar, but they're going to be competitive in every game, I think.
He looks like a New York Mets fan right now.
Oh, my God. Pete passed along his illness to me. I'm dying.
Well, Bobby, we're working remotely here, so you can't blame me for that one, but hope you feel better, man.
Yeah, our shout out to producer Bob Bender. The Bob Bender flu game, as we roll on here on the podcast. We had a question about Brad Marchand, like what to do with him. Like it's really, really intriguing, Pete, because like it is a long season in fantasy hockey, and you don't realize that until you get to the dog days of like November, and you're like, there's still like 60 games remaining. And I always say patience wins out. I don't know if you feel the same way.
It's an interesting time to be trading, though. Like, I feel like the fan that asked that was asking, should I trade Marchand to get DeBrincat after the Kane signing? You could work off that teammate beneficiaries. I kind of like DeBrincat a little bit more rest of season. And then someone else was asking a question, Anna, about Ovechkin. You know, Ovechkin's like a borderline top 50 fantasy file right now. And are you looking to sell him? Are you looking to make a move with Ovechkin, with the Capitals? I mean, the landscape has changed in Washington. Even when they were playing well, he's not as valuable as he used to be. But you still have that cachet with Ovechkin where maybe you could even land like a Sam Reinhardt in return for him, or maybe not a Besser, but some hot starter out there. You still have some leverage there if you own Ovi.
Yeah, this is a pretty good time to look at selling whoever you have on the Washington Capitals. I don't think many people drafted many players on that team this year, but they look weirdly good right now. They're third in the Metro. They are 7-2-1 in their last 10 games, and they're not going to perform this well for the rest of the season, guys. I'm saying it right now.
Wow.
This is the high that they have hit in Washington, because at the start of the year, they looked absolutely brutal. Charlie Lindgren came out of nowhere and was like the second coming of like Marty Brodeur. And that's not going to last. It's just not going to last. The other teams are going to catch up. New Jersey, Pittsburgh, maybe even the Islanders with like Sorokin. They're all going to catch up. Philadelphia, it's the end for Washington. Just sell whoever you have right now.
Anna, what's more surprising, the Caps being in third in the Metro, Alex Ovechkin has 5 goals in 19 games?
That's a good question. Honestly, they're pretty much neck and neck right now for how shocking they are. That's like the Metro Division standings, my goodness, is just like crazy to see.
And good on the Sharks social media team the other day. They were trolling Ovechkin. They said Fabian Zetterlund has more goals than Ovechkin. I mean, they got to stay relevant somehow out there. So give them some credit for keeping things light and fun during their rough season. They have been winning some games, though, so give them credit for that as well.
I mentioned San Jose has as many regulation wins as the Toronto Maple Leafs, who think they're a Stanley Cup contender. So they're rocketing up the stand. They got to start losing some games again. Chicago's like 2 points back. I'm not kidding, by the way. Like I took a futures bet on San Jose finishing last in this league this year, so they better hit. Anyways, who delivered the most for you in fantasy hockey this week? It's time for the delivery of the week, brought to you by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. Pete, you go first here, buddy.
I like a little Gustav Nyquist for the Nashville Predators, nice. Top liner with Philip Forsberg, who's been like a top 15 overall player, and the newcomer Ryan O'Reilly from the offseason move. That's another offseason move that nobody was talking about. Nyquist, quietly one of the most productive players among guys that have changed teams so far, 16 points in 21 games.
I pumped his tires earlier, so I'm going to keep pumping them right now. Jake Neighbors, St. Louis Blues right now, guys. Wow. 5 goals, 6 points. Thanks, Bob. In his past 6 games, he's on the top line with Robert Thomas. St. Louis is looking weirdly good right now, and Neighbors has been the biggest part of that.
I love it. It's World Junior season. I think Canada is going for their 3rd consecutive gold medal, so we're looking forward to that. I'm going to go with Alex Lyon. A tough segue right there, but Patrick Kane now in the mix in Detroit. 2-1-0, 1.35, 9.52, and a 1 shutout. And quite frankly, that crease is wide open for Alex Lyon. That's your deliveries of the week brought to you by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHLP. As we get set for Monday, Week 9 waiver wire edition. I can't believe it's Week 9. I can't believe it's December.
I know, it's crazy. It's holiday season coming up. I saw some people were hitting us up with their Spotify unwrapping, right? Like how much they've enjoyed the show. Definitely send us your screenshots, tag us, we'll share them. We appreciate the support. Leave us a review if you haven't already. It's been a great calendar year for the show, Bobby.
And this is a personal message. I know he listens to every show because he's got nothing else better to do. Where is Waiver Wire James? Oh. This guy used to come on every week, used to give out the Waiver Wire, and now he's gone. Can't be found. Need a GPS on Waiver Wire James. Waiver Wire James, you owe us an appearance before the new year. If it doesn't happen before the new year, you are banned from the show. Our guy Mark Kuntz over there out in Ukraine or wherever he is. Mark, your boy Waiver Wire James will be coming on soon. That's his I know guy. You love him.
That's this guy. He loves a lot of people on this podcast. But yeah, that accountability is the big word I would use at Waiver Wire James. Pete, I'm sure you caught the episode on Friday, but we were wondering about a couple names on that list. And full credit to James, he spoke up and said, hey, that's pretty much my list. So there it goes. Because Anna threw you under the bus, I won't lie.
It was because of Stuart Skinner. It was because Nick was like, Stuart why did you Skinner's- ask Stuart Skinner? And I was like, that was not my call.
I get it at the surface. You're like, Stuart Skinner, Ukko Pekalukinen, what's going on here? Skinner's won 3 in a row, and UPL stolen the starting job. And
there you go.
Just to defend James here, he got a real job here. So we're on the back burner here now. So we got to get, you know, his time is valuable. We'll get him on the show.
Yeah, we don't have real
jobs,
sure. guys.
He's got an agent now, Bob. He's got an agent now.
Yeah, he wants to get paid for his appearances. And I told him, I said, I'll pay you in chicken wings over at Big Daddy's, but I'm not paying you in the greens. So put a bow on this. It's been a great show. I'm under the weather. Pete passed along his illness. I'm dying over here. But you know what? You guys put me in a better mood than I was before
great.
We started.
Great. And Bob, you know, we only pay and skip on this show. Don't forget that. Week 9 Waiver Wire Edition coming next week. Thanks to producer Bob Bender. For Pete Jensen and Anna Dua, I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice delivered by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.